Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and I'm going to make this a really short introduction because I want to try to fit in this whole interview I have with Robert David Steele. I have him back. We're going to be talking about the FBI Director Comey's firing. We're going to be talking about what's going on in Washington with Trump and some geopolitical stuff. So let's get right into that interview with Robert David Steele.
Hi, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. I've gotten a lot of compliments for what you did with me last time.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's do that again. But we have a lot of things to talk about. There's a lot that's gone on. And it's actually, as you know, it's a really serious issue with what's going on right now and what our role in the world is. And I want to get your impression on this. I've talked to a lot of people, as you know, and I don't know. I'll say some of my opinions as we go, but I want to hear what you say. First of all, let's start with Director Comey. He was just fired. Why do you really think this occurred?
Well, I'm quite certain that it occurred because Comey has basically been slow rolling Jeff Sessions. He has been protecting Hillary Clinton, who is easily indictable for charity fraud, electoral fraud, pedophilia enabling, if not participation, and finally, treason. We have proof that she sent classified information to Saudi Arabia and Qatar to IP addresses there. So Comey is essentially still a Clinton-Obama holdover. He's also been aggressively pursuing an investigation that should not be pursued. I am one of 27 people that have totally slammed down on this nonsense about the Russians hacking the election and so forth. So Comey was fired for good reasons, and I'm glad that Trump did that. However, until Trump fires Priebus and McMaster, he is still surrounded by traitors and ineffective.
Well, so do you expect more purging to go on, or do you think he's just going to try to meddle?
I really hope so. I mean, Donald Trump is our legitimately elected president. And while he has made some mistakes and while he has clearly broken some of his promises on the campaign trail, I pray that he is actually playing a long game and he does, in fact, intend to defeat the deep state. Donald Trump is our John F. Kennedy. I want him to survive and prosper.
Well, there's a lot of big things he needs to do. Donald Trump just created a new website that it has been, it's directly to the public. At first glance, it's pretty vanilla. What are your thoughts
is that a synonym for mediocre?
Well, yeah, I suppose it's the same thing.
I looked at the site. I opened up every single page. I looked at the posts. This is as close as crap as you can get. Now, having said that, it's important that Trump's trying, but there's absolutely nothing about this site that, for example, introduces a two-way dynamic. I mean, he should have pollmole.vote at a minimum, and pollmole does stuff that SurveyMonkey does not do. And I absolutely credit his people with having the best of intentions, but they don't know what they don't know. This website in no way, shape, or form communicates to the public in a holistic way. It doesn't cover what Trump is doing on every one of the top 10 high-level threats to humanity. It doesn't cover what Trump is doing on all of the important policies from agriculture through energy, family, health, immigration, and then on to water. So there is absolutely nothing to distinguish this website in any way, shape, or form from all of the industrial era, I talk, you listen, this is what I want you to know sites. So Trump's people need to step up their game. They simply don't know what I know. And I would really like to see this website become a two-way dynamic. And that's one of the things about pollmole that really impresses me, because it would allow Trump to send out a trumpet to 150 million Americans and then have their responses come back into a presidential dashboard so Donald Trump could drill down to congressional districts, to individual demographics, including the people of color, which is the single most important demographic that he is neglecting right now. So I'm enthusiastic about Donald Trump's potential, and I'm extraordinarily disappointed by this website.
Well, the website seems like it's just a marketing campaign at this point to try to change the narrative.
And it's not going to.
Because it's not powerful enough.
In its present form, Donald Trump's website is worse than a burp.
Okay, well, I had an in-depth discussion with Senator Black about Syria. Very serious. He was the one that wrote the letter to Assad and then did a visit in April 2016. His assessment of the situation is very dire. He estimates that over 4 million people will be slaughtered if Assad fails. They will ethnically cleanse the region. What do you know? What do you think about all that?
I think he's absolutely right. And I am extraordinarily disappointed that Donald Trump has not slammed down on the CIA's destabilization of Syria with money from Saudi Arabia and Qatar. I'm also furious that Donald Trump is evidently letting Mike Pompeo arm the Kurds against Turkey. I believe there will be a free Kurdistan one day. But right now, Israel, the Zionists, CIA, and Saudi Arabia are the three devils that need to be put back in a very small box. The U.S. government is out of control. Donald Trump is not in any way, shape, or form honoring his promises to end regime change and stop elective wars. So I'm going to New York City on the 17th and 18th of May to talk to some people, including Black leaders. And our bottom line is, if Donald Trump doesn't return to his promises to the base, and if he does not reach out to the 73% that voted for him, then we're moving beyond Donald Trump. We welcome him back anytime he wants to reconnect with his integrity. But if Donald Trump will not connect with we the people, then we the people are going our own way.
Well, I think in this particular situation, we are backing the regimes that are some of the most evil, oppressive regimes on the planet. And we will be supporting and funding essentially a Holocaust in the Middle East, something that we fundamentally don't believe in.
That's correct. But you have to remember that Donald Trump now works for Goldman Sachs and the Zionists. All right. Syria is about a Saudi pipeline to the north west. And it's about Israel keeping the Golan Heights, which it stole from Syria, where Dick Cheney is now in charge of a massive oil project. There appears to be a great deal of oil underneath the Golan Heights. And third and last, Goldman Sachs made some bad bets on the future of oil. Goldman Sachs desperately needs a war in the Middle East to drive the price of oil up, or they're going to lose billions and billions of dollars on their bad bets.
Well, too bad for them. Well, that's how I feel.
If Donald Trump had integrity, he would have ended U.S. involvement in Syria overnight. And he would have basically said to the Saudi Arabians, if I hear one more word from you about destabilizing Syria, I'm closing your embassy in the United States of America. That's the kind of dynamic leadership we need right now.
Exactly. It's a stand up for that. Well, we are aligned. Well, I've heard Turkey is really out of control right now. And we're aligned with Saudi Arabia and Qatar and others. And we're also aligned with the extreme terrorists, ISIS.
Remember, Sarah, we created ISIS.
Yeah.
Okay. ISIS was created with money from Saudi Arabia, training from CIA, and weapons from the Pentagon. ISIS is a wholly owned subsidiary of the U.S. deep state. And our public cannot forget that.
Well, now, Erdogan
is kind of the Donald Trump of the Middle East. He changes every single day depending on who's offering the most money. I believe that Erdogan, Iran, and Russia, perhaps with Jordan and Egypt, comprise the adults in the region. However, Erdogan is out of touch with his government. And Erdogan is basically deciding that now's the time to crush the Kurds at the same time that CIA is arming the Kurds. So we're essentially looking at the U.S. deep state wants a war with North Korea and a war in the Middle East and a war with China over the Spratly Islands. This is absolutely the worst thing we can do. And I'm very, very disappointed that Donald Trump doesn't have the integrity to stand up to these people and say no. He needs to do that.
Well, how did we get to the point where we were aligned with such nefarious, bad people? I mean, how did we get to such an incredibly low place?
That's a very interesting question, and it goes back to our capture of the Japanese. Well, it actually goes back to the origin of the CIA, which was created by Wall Street to be its secret penetration of the U.S. government and to be the Wall Street means by which we foster both yellow journalism to start wars and mislead the public, and the means by which we do regime change. When we captured the gold in the Philippines, there's an excellent book called Gold Warriors by Sterling and Peggy Seagrave. We created something called the Black Lily Fund. The Black Lily Fund became the Wall Street Treasury CIA fund for restoring fascism in Japan, Germany, and Italy, for creating the NATO Gladio Stay Behind Networks. We just had an instance in Germany where two German lieutenants tried to pretend to be Syrian immigrants who were going to carry out a false flag attack in Germany. Okay. We then went on with the Cold War mentality to decide that dictators were easier for the United States to deal with than publics. So from the end of World War II, the United States of America has institutionalized evil, and the U.S. government has been a wholly controlled subsidiary of Wall Street. And that's what we elected Donald Trump to finish, to end. Donald Trump was supposed to be the champion of Main Street against Wall Street, of the 99% against the 1%. And while I continue to pray that Donald Trump will return to his people, right now all evidence is that Donald Trump has accepted a double-down bribe from Lynn Rothschild, $40 billion, and he is now Obama in whiteface.
So how much do you think Obama accepted as a bribe? Because Obama clearly...
Easily $5 billion, probably offshore. I mean, if Obama is getting speaking fees at $400,000, which is $500,000, basically, there is no question that he was bought before he left office. And now that he's left office, he is easily going to be worth within 2 years no less than $2 billion and probably closer to five. And my reports say that he is the Rothschilds' personal representative as we go forward toward a crash. Martin Armstrong has never been wrong. There will be a major economic crash in the United States in September of this year. Donald Trump is not ready for that. And the 50 Jews that he has advising him, all of whom are associated with Goldman Sachs, are absolutely going to lead to sacrificing the Main Street economy to protect the Wall Street economy. Wall Street never loses.
So are the 50 Jewish people, Israelites, are they all under Goldman Sachs and the Rothschilds? Because Rothschilds are
that's
Jewish.
That's a very good point. And I want to point out that President Duterte in the Philippines has recently banned the Rothschilds from the Philippines. I'm just back from a trip to Thailand, and the single most important recurring question I ever got across the board with meetings across many different segments was, what can we do about the Rothschilds? And I'll tell you what my answer was. I said, my answer was, first, you need to do a counterintelligence survey. You need to understand who the Rothschilds own, not only in Thailand, but in all of the ASEAN countries. Singapore is, of course, a Rothschild bastion. Singapore is not about to betray the Rothschilds because the Rothschilds own Singapore. But I believe that we are moving toward a day when countries will begin to put people in jail, particularly the bankers that the Rothschilds have personally appointed in charge of every central bank and every major financial arm across Asia. They will begin to put people in jail or offer them an opportunity to basically turn their backs on the Rothschilds and come back to their national roots and loyalties. I also believe that within 10 years, you're going to start seeing the nationalization of all of the natural resources and land that has been illicitly bought by the banks and used to basically institutionalize the 1% concentration of wealth against the interests of the 99% who are in starvation mode. I actually feel very optimistic. I really believe, God bless Donald Trump, I cannot say it enough, Donald Trump got the world to understand deep state, rigged system, false flag. What he hasn't been, and fake news, what he hasn't been willing to do so far is take down the Republican Party. Because the Republican Party is part of the establishment, part of the two wings, same bird, same crap. And I'm really disappointed that Donald Trump has not been willing to listen to those of us who have been trying to show him how he can regain control of the American economy. Now, there are some small signs. There are some liens against the Federal Reserve. There are some new lawsuits. There are some new indications that before September, it might be possible to destroy Wall Street and put the American people back in charge of the American government, the American economy. I'm not Donald Trump. I'm not as smart as Donald Trump. I'm not as rich as Donald Trump. And I most assuredly am not president of the United States of America. But what I am, I think, is the closest thing Donald Trump has to a weather vane for what the rest of the country is thinking about him. And that's my gift, which I have offered to Donald Trump on multiple occasions.
Well, isn't he in a very difficult situation? If he takes on the Republican Party, I mean, who does he have? He has to one by one figure out.
Ah, but see, Sarah, you're brilliant. You're absolutely right. He has to get ready for the day when WikiLeaks, among other things, releases all of the pedophilia documents that it has on senior Republican Party leaders. I can't say this often enough. The Democrats are going to retake the House in 2018, and they are probably going to retake the Senate if we have 4 to 6 Republican senators. One has already quit. If we have 4 to 6 Republican senators go to jail, commit suicide, or resign, then the way is open for the Democrats to retake the House. The only way Donald Trump can govern effectively for the duration of his tour is if he barnstorms the country demanding the Election Reform Act of 2017. Tens of thousands of people have put that Election Reform Act together. Donald Trump has to reach out to the 73% that did not vote for him, and he has to reconnect with the 27% that did. And he has to become president of, by, and for all Americans. If he does that, he not only restores integrity to Congress, because the members then get unlimited public funding and free access to the media and a whole bunch of other things. Donald Trump should be able to restore the integrity of Congress, restore Article 1 of the Constitution, and in so doing, he will have more political power in him personally than he now gets from the Republican Party with its very tenuous grip on both houses.
Yeah, well, the Republicans probably aren't too supportive of him. But when you're talking about the pedophilia stuff coming out, how many in the Democratic Party, how many, because I know it's a two-sided deal. It's not just the Republicans.
Yes, it is. It is. Although I call the Democrats pedophilia light. The Republican Party has historically been the party that is most connected to Wall Street, the Illuminati, and the Satanists that use pedophilia as well as, this is a very delicate topic, it turns out that drinking children's blood is an anti-aging device. This is just really sick and disgusting, but it's a fact. It's a chemical fact. And if you drink adrenalized children's blood, which is to say you terrorize the child, not just with sodomy, but with torture and with other satanic ritual things. If you adrenalize the child's blood before you kill them and drink their blood, this is a doubly effective anti-aging device. You can also harvest children's bone marrow. So children are being killed for their bone marrow as an anti-aging device for the elite. I don't make this stuff up. This is what I'm being told
That's
and reading
terrible.
About. Yes, it is terrible, Sarah.
Take these
it is
people
something
down.
That's gone on. It's gone on throughout history. This is not new, and it's not unique to the Americans. Okay, the Saudis and the Afghans do as much child terrorizing and as much child sodomy as 1/10 of Wall Street. Okay, I mean they're really big on this stuff. So from where I sit, Saudi Arabia is evil at multiple levels, including child sodomy and child murder. And I think it's disgusting that the U.S. government is allowing its two political parties and various dictators to essentially destroy the children. Let me tell you why I was in Bangkok. I was in Bangkok because I was deeply honored by Steven Seagal. I was invited to be his supporting actor, his supporting voice in a documentary that we shot under Sacha Stone of Humanitat. This one-hour documentary featuring Steven Seagal talking about pedophilia, but not talking about this blood stuff, could be one of the most powerful educational moral films I have ever seen, much less participated in. Steven Seagal has graced the public with a very powerful statement to the effect that we must protect all of our children. In the United States of America, as well as the United Kingdom, law enforcement from the national services, Scotland Yard and the FBI, all the way down to the local police jurisdictions, turn a blind eye on pedophilia. In fact, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, which is ground zero for pedophilia, has the pedophilia symbol in its badge. Okay? They are a wholly owned protective service for elite pedophiles on the West Coast. The same is true of elements of the New York Police Department, Chicago, Washington, Boston, and of course, the Vatican is the longstanding procurer of children for the elite. This is really serious stuff. We're now entering into a revolutionary time when pedogate, pizzagate to pedogate to so forth, that can no longer be repressed. No matter how much the mainstream media lies, no matter how much hashtag Google Gestapo exercises its censorship of people trying to talk about this stuff and learn more about this stuff, cat's out of the bag. A public revolution has started. In fact, I have a Kindle short, which is also a free online post, saying World War III has started, and it's between the 99% and the 1%. And pedophilia is the Achilles heel of the deep state. That is what is going to allow the public to finally bring down the deep state.
Well,
and now you have to credit Donald Trump. He and Jeff Sessions have arrested 3,000 people, generally at the bottom. And one of the reasons I think Comey was fired, and the public can find my letter to Comey online, where I said pedophilia is the number one thing you should be investigating with respect to the Clinton Foundation and Hillary and Bill and Chelsea Clinton. Chelsea Clinton is just as indictable as her parents. Comey was, I think, fired in part because he wasn't ready to go to the next level. The next level is deep investigations. And let me point out that NSA has every email and every phone call related to pedophilia across this country in their databases. But NSA is part of the deep state. So NSA, if it hasn't already destroyed all of those, is sitting on them. And one of the things Jeff Sessions doesn't understand is how to open up NSA. He can do that with William Binney, who is available immediately to lead a transition team to shut down the 70% of NSA that's worthless and intrusive and doing mass surveillance, and to harvest the pedophilia as well as the treason emails. There are at least 500 traitors in the U.S. government, generally working for Israel or Saudi Arabia or Goldman Sachs or others. I can identify those 500 traitors within 90 days if I can tap into the NSA archives. So Donald Trump basically is surrounded by people who hate him and are betraying him. I single out Rents Priebers and Herbert McMaster. Please call him Herbert. It pisses him off, and I like that. Okay, Herbert McMaster is a traitor. He conspired with John McCain and John Brennan to get Saudi Arabia and Israel to fund the White Helmets to do the false flag sarin attack. Herbert McMaster is a traitor. He should be returned to the U.S. Army for court-martial. And if not court-martialed, then sent into retirement in disgrace. The man is a traitor.
Well, how many people do you think need to know in order for this to really take people down? Because it's bad.
What? Just one. His name is Donald Trump.
But let's say he doesn't get there mentally.
20,000.
And we're there, don't you think? 20,000, we're there.
We're close. Part of the problem is that Bernie Sanders has very successfully sheepdogged his Sandinistas into a people's party, which is nothing more than sheepdog 2.0. Okay? I love the Sandinistas, but I wish they were smarter, because they really think that the Democratic Party is their salvation. It's not. The Democratic Party is their slave master. Okay? Now, what's really significant is that people of color are starting to move. Cynthia McKinney and I have come together. I'm doing a major speech in New York at the Commonwealth Club on the 18th of May. If anyone wants to assassinate me, that's the place to do it. Cynthia McKinney has got the black leaders talking to me, and the black leaders have agreed that the black people finally are beginning to understand that more black people were put in jail by the Clinton crime bill than there were slaves at the beginning of the Civil War. So if I can put together alt-right plus people of color, then we can bring in the Latinos, and then we can appeal to the Sandinistas to realize that Bernie Sanders is a fraud. Bernie Sanders is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democratic Party, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the deep state. Now, I like John Kasich, who is setting himself up to run for president in 2020, but I don't think he'll be successful. Kasich is talking about how Ohio is now beyond parties. And what's really happening here is there's a national movement that is starting to recognize none of the above. And Tom Friedman, to his credit, Zionist agent that he is, wrote an excellent article on none of the above. Well, Donald Trump was the exception. Donald Trump won accidentally. My article on Donald Trump, accidental president under Sage, is still the best analysis around on how Trump won despite trying to lose. So across this country, I think we're going to see a nonviolent revolution this summer. And what I'm trying to launch in May and June is a new version of Occupy that occupies the front lawns of every member of Congress in July, with July 4th as a particular target date. And we are going to have a simple, single demand of every member of Congress. Sign the integrity pledge, promising to co-sponsor and vote for the Election Reform Act of 2017 when Congress reconvenes in September, or we are going to turn you into a large pile of really smelly pus. You will be recalled and destroyed by your constituents for being a traitor to your constituents. It's a really simple message. Sign the Electoral Reform Act, the Election Reform Act, and you will remain our congressman or our senator, and you will be responsible for us being your first charge. Now, Congress is not only bribed, it's also being blackmailed. NSA has been blackmailing, spying on and blackmailing U.S. politicians and judges for the last 10 years. So in addition to freeing our members of Congress from the bribery aspect, which we do with public funding of campaigns, we also need to give them a blackmail out. And the way that I would do that, I'm very familiar with offensive and defensive counterintelligence. I'm very familiar with what we can do. Every single member of Congress will be given an opportunity to earn a presidential pardon, be completely debriefed on who is blackmailing them, and then we will either execute or declare persona non grata every person who is blackmailing every member of Congress. And we start with the Israeli embassy.
Yeah, but we gotta flush that out.
Yes, and I know how to do that. I know how to do that, but I can't reach Donald Trump. It's a little bit frustrating. We have to protect our members of Congress, and they're too stupid right now to understand that it's possible for them to have a clean slate, including a presidential pardon. But Donald Trump has to make the offer. He has to understand the art of the possible.
Well, let's talk about NATO for a little bit. Let's get on to geopolitical stuff. My understanding is that NATO has evolved from an alliance after World War II, which you talked about a little bit, that was mostly dedicated to maintaining peace because they wanted peace after World War II. Okay, will you correct this?
NATO has never been about peace.
Okay, well, but now they're used really hardcore to propagate war, especially after the Soviet Union fell.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Sarah. NATO has never been about peace. NATO was always about creating a stay-behind capability to confront the Soviets if they came over the line into Europe. But we actually have known all along that the Soviets were not going to come into Europe. So NATO is actually, as I said recently in an interview with Sacha Stone, NATO is a pimp for the whores of war. Okay,
well,
NATO
now,
is a military-industrial complex pimp. And I have also said publicly that our 1,000 military bases are not actually about projecting military power. They're lily pads through which CIA can smuggle guns, gold, cash, drugs, and small children. Donald Trump should be closing all 1,000 of our military bases and bringing our military home and closing down CIA as an institution of evil. I have had academic articles published evaluating CIA's drone program and CIA's torture program as crimes against humanity. every single person at CIA who has been involved in those things is eligible for war crime indictment and conviction. Now, obviously, I don't want to do that. I simply want to shut it down. I really have to emphasize I'm a truth and reconciliation guy. I don't want vindictive justice. I simply want it to stop because I know how to return prosperity and peace to this world and to our country. But right now, Donald Trump is making every possible move in favor of Wall Street rather than in favor of Main Street. And I want to know, when is he going to return to we the people as the object of his attention and affection?
Well, history is really going to judge us harshly, isn't it? Because at some point this comes out.
Maybe. Yes, I agree. But you have to remember that you've had the Armenian genocide. You've had various Muslim genocides. You've had the Catholic Inquisition. Okay, the Catholic Church is all about power over people. The Catholic Church is all about, we'll tell you what to think. Don't think for yourselves. And the same is true of all religions that have dogma. Okay, any religion with dogma is a false religion. It's a false god. God is us. God is in we, the cosmos, and we do not need a religion to be good human beings that advance to the next level of civilization. So religions right now are part of the deep state. They're part of the control mechanism. I can't say it enough. God bless Donald Trump. God bless Donald Trump. He opened the American mind to things that I've been saying for 30 years, Peter Dale Scott, others have been saying for 30 years. He opened the American mind. Unfortunately, right now, he's not finishing the job.
Well, if the average person really knew about what was going on, they just wouldn't be supporting this, period. So
I agree with you. And in fact, bankers have said if the average American knew exactly what goes on behind banking closed doors, every banker would be hunted down and executed by a mob overnight.
Well, or what's going on with our tax money on these military bases? What's going on in the Middle East where we're supporting mass slaughter?
Sarah, you're absolutely right. I have been a champion of public intelligence. That's why Phi Beta Iota, the public intelligence blog, is free with no ads to anyone who wants to go in there. And I have, for the last 12 years, been focusing on how do you create a world brain? How do you create a smart nation? I wrote the original article in Government Information Quarterly, 1996, on how do you create a smart nation? All right. I really want to single out Eleanor Ostrom, who got a Nobel Economics Prize for showing that the best people to both make regulations and enforce regulations are the local people. As soon as you move to the national level, you end up in hierarchy, corruption, and remoteness. The federal government is not just stupid, it's corrupt. The Food and Drug Administration and the Center for Disease Control, they're criminal networks. They're in the pockets of big agriculture and big pharma. And their job is to push poisonous vaccines and poisonous foods onto the marketplace where we, the people, are treated as expendable cattle. Now, the good news is, God bless Donald Trump. Hashtag unrig is now going mainstream. So hashtag unrig and hashtag Google Gestapo are now going mainstream. I've done that. I'm glad. Now, I haven't done that, actually. I started that, and now people are listening, and they're pushing it out, and so it's taking on a life of its own. So I don't get credit for it's taking a life of its own. I earnestly believe that we will see an alternative internet within 5 years that buries Amazon, Google, Twitter, and Facebook. They're gone. It will be blockchain-based, although there's issues with scaling blockchain. It will be blockchain-based. It will be impossible to censor. One of the things that really disgusts me about Eric Schmidt is he's using the United States of America as a testbed to demonstrate to China that Google can deliver a censorship board that satisfies the communist Chinese. That's what this is all about. This is actually not just a political play. It's an international financial play. At Google Gestapo or hashtag Google Gestapo is about fine-tuning the algorithms so that they can go to China and say, look, let us have Twitter and Facebook and Google in China, but we'll censor it any way you want. Okay?
Because we got it all set up. Yeah.
Yes. And Sarah, that is just as heinous and despicable as the CEOs of Dell and IBM and HP and Microsoft and others agreeing to put in NSA backdoors in violation of their fiduciary responsibility to every single stakeholder and stockholder. Our CEOs lack integrity, starting with Eric Schmidt. He lacks integrity. He is in no way, shape, or form devoted to the public interest. He is a despicable criminal, like George Soros.
Wouldn't you say that these CEOs are putting in a hard spot? And they, if they didn't do it, they would destroy their companies. And we need to get rid of that power base that destroys people with integrity.
Yes, you're right. And it's called the Rothschilds. Once you ban the Rothschilds the way Putin and Duterte have, the way I think several other countries in ASEAN are now thinking about, once you ban the Rothschilds and once you nationalize certain assets, including the central banks, the central banks need to become national government banks. Right now, they're private banks, and that's how the money people manipulate governments and blackmail governments. When I was in Ecuador, the central bank was terrified of sanctions that would be imposed if Ecuador actually did what its president wanted to do, which is Ecuador has the only intelligence community in the world that is dedicated to the well-being of the people, bienestar. Bienestar means the well-being of the people, okay? God bless Donald Trump. Because we are on the verge of flipping the tortilla and actually being able to close down the central banks, close out the Rothschilds, nationalize natural resources that have been illicitly captured by the banks and the Rothschilds. And by the way, China is very, very close to making a deal with both the Philippines and Indonesia to discover and surface all of the gold that was stolen from China and the ASEAN countries by the Japanese and then hidden in mines in Indonesia and Japan. Gold Warriors by Peggy and Sterling Seagraves is still the best book on this subject. When all that gold comes up, you're going to see a gold-backed reserve currency from the BRICS that will bury the Rothschilds. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if a great deal of the so-called digital wealth were not to vanish overnight. If your wealth is not backed up by gold or real property that has the legitimacy of the government sanctioning it, then I think a lot of people are going to find themselves all of a sudden losing all of this false digital wealth. So I'm absolutely in favor of nationalizing land and mineral resources and, of course, oil and gas and all of that. So we're at the beginning, I think, of a 20-year revolution that I hope will be nonviolent. And the reason I think it will be nonviolent is because on the one hand, I'm emphasizing truth and reconciliation. And on the other hand, I'm emphasizing public intelligence, holistic analytics, true cost economics, and open source everything engineering. One of the things I did in Thailand in passing, my main purpose there was to support Steven Seagal, who's one of the greatest. People don't understand how intellectual this guy is. He's not just an action hero and a celebrity. He actually is a compassionate thinking man who is deeply Buddhist and inspirational in his nature. Okay, so I can't say enough good things about Steven Seagal.
I definitely want to support that film and get that information out there.
Well, I'll introduce you by email to Sacha Stone, and we'll see where we're going on that. Okay. But one of the things I was able to do while I was in Thailand was have meetings with the Ministry of Science and Technology and a whole bunch of other people, including people supporting the new king, who is not yet new king. He's going to be installed shortly. His father died in October. May God rest his soul. ASEAN, rather than China, could become the focal point for open source everything engineering. I have finally broken through at the highest levels in a single government after years of trying. And they are taking this to the next ASEAN meeting set. You know, you have a military ASEAN meeting and a commercial and so forth. They're running with this. I've never seen any country move so quickly on my ideas.
What country?
Thailand.
Thailand. Well, whoever does it will have a system put in place that'll soar. They'll thrive.
Yes. Yes, I agree, because Marcin Jakubowski, one of my heroes, a guy who genuinely does deserve the Nobel Peace Prize, Marcin with Open Source Ecology and the Global Village Construction Set has documented that open source everything engineer costs 10% of the Western engineering paradigm with all of its financial and legal incumbents. Can I give you a tractor example?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. A John Deere tractor costs between $200,000 and $250,000, and all of the insides of the tractor are proprietary, to the point that farmers are now suing John Deere for right to repair. When a John Deere tractor breaks in the field, you have to have a very expensive trailer come in and bring it out and take it to a John Deere repair facility where they do secret repairs, and then they rent it back to you. An open source everything engineering tractor, which Marcin has built and documented, costs $20,000, and it is easily repaired in the field by the farmer with plug-and-play parts, okay? And I've had similar examples with secret intelligence. I mean, $70 billion in secret intelligence buys 4% of what the president or a major commander needs. Open source intelligence at the Special Operations Command was documented in answering 40% of all of the intelligence requirements worldwide, including Russian military maps for denied area border crossings, for $5 million. $5 million, 40%.
Whenever there's a breakdown in a free market, which there's a ton, you get things like the tractor issue. And the people just can't. And so it...
We don't have a free market. We don't have a free market. We have a rigged system. One of the greatest things Donald Trump has done is cancel the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was a neo-Nazi fascist treaty that would essentially have allowed corporations to overrule governments and screw the publics, regardless of what the corporations wanted. Now, NAFTA is a similar bad treaty. And unfortunately, Trump does not have the best advisors around him. I still favor Steve Bannon because Steve Bannon's doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is trying to keep Donald Trump from breaking every promise he made on the campaign trail. But all of Trump's other advisors are essentially apparatchiks of the deep state. Trump has been too quick to install billionaires and sycophants and traitors, and he really needs a complete house cleaning. We're posting an article tomorrow on how Trump is surrounded by people who are maliciously and deliberately undermining him. And among them, I would single out Rentz Priebus and Herbert McMaster as two traitors that have no business being in the White House.
Well, what do you think when Nikki Haley and Rex Tillerson and Sean Spicer all said, we're going to pull out of Syria, and then the next day we end up having a chemical attack? What happened there?
Well, there's several things happening. The first is the Trump team has no discipline. It has no message discipline. Tillerson and Mattis and Haley are all contradicting our beloved president everywhere they go. There's no message discipline here. Second, the deep state is manipulating who works for Nikki Haley and who advises Nikki Haley and what Nikki Haley understands. Nikki Haley is the cutest Indian American bimbo ever to serve at the United Nations. She's a nicer person than Samantha Powers and whatever non-entity served before Powers, Susan Rice. I mean, these are idiots with PhDs. Okay. I mean, we've now gotten to the point where a PhD really means you know everything about nothing and you absolutely cannot think critically. You accepted, of course, and others. But the bottom line here is, Trump's team lacks message discipline. It lacks a holistic analytic framework. It lacks a grand strategy. I'm not sure these people even know what a grand strategy is. A grand strategy is about managing all of your resources so that you achieve peace with prosperity at the lowest possible cost for everybody. I know how to do that. Mattis does not. Neither does Tillerson.
But it sounded like they were serious. Some of them wanted to get out of Syria. It had to come up from somewhere. And then all of a sudden, no, they're going to go hardcore back in. It's just
the best explanation I've gotten, Sarah. I mean, in intelligence, we have what we call the hidden planet theory of analysis. And it's very simple. If you cannot find an explanation for what appears to be totally insane, bad decisions, you look for a hidden planet. Now, in my case, when I did this the first time, trying to understand why Donald Trump kept trying to lose the election, it was easy. The hidden planet was Lynn Rothschild, because Sidney Blumenthal advised Hillary Clinton in this last election, and Sidney Blumenthal was in the room when Al Gore was bribed by Warren Christopher with a $100 million offer to not fight the theft of Florida, which Greg Palast had discovered 3 months prior to Election Day. And no one in the U.S. would publish that. He had to publish it in The Observer in the U.K. Okay, Jeb Bush stole 50,000 votes from Al Gore by disenfranchising 50,000 people, predominantly of color. Okay, the Bush family is certifiably evil. And George Bush, the father, was in Dallas. He was part of the assassination cabal with John F. Kennedy. And Yitzhak Rabin was the Israeli representative in Dallas on the day, representing Israel's interest in the joint program to assassinate John F. Kennedy. Allen Dulles planned it. J. Edgar Hoover helped cover it up. The Secretary of the Treasury met with Dulles several weeks prior and agreed to pull back the Secret Service. They did a dry run in Chicago and then exposed Kennedy. All of this is now known. Trump is right where John F. Kennedy was before he was assassinated. And that's a partial explanation for why Trump may be pretending to be going along with the deep state. I pray this is so, because Donald Trump has an opportunity to become a trillionaire instead of a minor bot billionaire if he will return to We the People, and if he will understand that being president of the United States by accident is the single greatest gift God has given us in the last 20 years.
Are you saying trillionaire in as a symbolic nature of you're going to be wealthy in other ways, or...
It's a good question, Sarah. Let me put it this way. If Donald Trump were to be the president for all of our people, and if Donald Trump were to work with Putin and Xi and Modi and a few others to win the Nobel Peace Prize by closing all U.S. military bases, bringing our military home and focusing on mainstream, he will at a minimum be worth $100 billion financially. Because we, the people, will bless him with our love and our money, okay? Metaphorically speaking, there is absolutely no comparison with being a paid servant of the Rothschilds, no matter how many billions they give you, and being a free man who is penniless. In Donald Trump's case, I think he can have it all. He can be wealthy beyond his wildest dreams, and he can keep his integrity.
So the other day they had a... media meeting or a media conference, and the media wasn't invited, but there was, or the mainstream media wasn't invited, but some of the Russian media was invited, and people are going crazy all over the internet about that. What really happened there?
I don't know, but what I see on the Trump team is a real lack of sophistication and a real lack of understanding of the 21st century. I have published a concept for the Trump Channel. In my concept, we throw the press out of the White House. They're absolutely worthless. That space is wasted space. And so we turn that space now. And there's actually, I put up a floor plan. If you look up Trump Channel, you'll see my floor plan. That space should be a combination of a grand strategy red cell or a commander's advisory group that we know how to do, and a Trump studio in which Trump and all of his cabinet officials, all the way down to the desk officer, take questions from the public through pollmall.vote rather than this site that is not interactive. The site is basically we speak, you listen. Okay. Trump still isn't listening. He has no tools for listening. So we create an interactive Trump channel so that on any given issue, Trump can post the true transparent line item budget. And what he's going to find is that he can then harvest the distributed intelligence, not just to the whole earth, but the whole planet. I am starting to attract a lot of attention from Australia, from the Nordic countries, from France, from Germany. Everybody in the world is now starting to look at me and We the People, Unity for Integrity and Election Reform and my concept for holistic analytics. They're starting to understand that freedom is within our grasp. Now, the deep state was able to defeat the populist candidates in the Netherlands and in France. The new French president is a traitor. He's basically selling out the French people. He played the European national anthem instead of the French national anthem at his most recent rally. This is a guy saying to Brussels, I'm going to suck you as much as you want. You own France, okay? This is disgusting.
Did he win for real? Did he win for real legitimately, or was it?
That's a good question that I cannot answer. I would say that there is a very good chance that the entire election was manufactured. Le Pen should have won. But again, if you don't have election reform, which includes, among other things, paper ballots and exit polls, then you are guaranteed a fraudulent election. I mean, the Diebold machines, all of the election machines, there's lots of books about this. They were all designed to do what's called fractional voting, which is code for determining who wins before you ever cast a single vote. Never mind that they can be hacked. The machines were designed to deliver elections to the people controlling the machines. All right. So no election can be considered honest if it's not done with paper ballots counted on site with the public present, and also combined with exit polls. And pollmall.vote has a superb concept for doing exit polling so that you have absolute guaranteed transparency and you end corruption. You also end waste. I really have to emphasize, God bless Donald Trump. We're entering an era, and whether he screws this up completely by himself, which I hope he doesn't, I'm certainly ready to help him. I will always be loyal to our legitimately elected president. Donald Trump is our legitimately elected president. Get over it, all you idiots that say not our president, impeach Donald Trump. You're just seditious traitors. However, he has failed to connect with his public. He has failed to reach out to people of color, to Latinos, to single moms, to students, to the elderly who have crushing debt burden. He has failed to consider my idea of Debt Be Gone, a Debt Be Gone website where we, the people who owe $3 trillion, empower Donald Trump as our agent for renegotiating that debt with the banks. I guarantee you, if Trump follows my suggestion, he can cut the individual debt in half, if not more. And he can also authorize not paying off that debt. He can authorize every American to renege on that debt and give every single American a presidential pardon and stick it, jam it into Wall Street's ear.
Which would be
my polite orifice.
So you have a broad coalition going between.
Yes, I'm thrilled. Cynthia McKinney is a goddess. Cynthia McKinney is one of the last truly honest, intelligent, ethical political leaders we've got. And I would name others who are important. Patrick Buchanan, Virgil Good, Ralph Nader, for whatever flaws he may have, is still a decent man. Ross Perot is out there. And then you've got all of these people like Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul who have huge followings. Jesse Ventura, we're trying to get Jesse Ventura to come on board. The whole idea here is that instead of we're setting aside all of our ideological and issue differences. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And we have a new logo, which is free to anyone that wants to use it. It's basically saying the common enemy is the deep state and the common solution is election reform. And once we clean up our government and we restore integrity and we restore Article 1 of the Constitution, then we have a balanced Congress, which is proportionally representative of all people, including the Greens, the Libertarians, and Independents. And at that point, evidence-based governance kicks in. At that point, my vision for an open-source agency that can deliver open-source intelligence on every threat, every policy, inclusive of true cost economics. Now, the government can't get away with cheating because the public gets the same intelligence that the government does. And the Congress gets the same intelligence that the executive does. And the media, most of which should be flushed down the toilet, gets the same intelligence and can no longer lie.
Well, and suddenly,
I have to say, I'm confident we have solutions on the horizon.
Well, and then suddenly people realize how much more they agree with each other. When you start realizing what our true enemy is, instead of pointing fingers in the wrong directions, we can really make progress.
You're absolutely right. I grew up in Asia with servants. I think my high was 7 servants, upstairs maid, downstairs maid, cook, cook's assistants, driver, lawn boy, you know, the whole 9 yards. When I joined the Marine Corps, that was my first time to be sleeping side by side with people of color. And I was never prejudiced, but I just didn't have a grasp of my fellow citizens. And I will never forget my gunnery sergeant telling us all one day, we have dark green Marines and we have light green Marines, but we are all green Marines who bleed red. That's it right there. That is the simplest possible concept to understand. And if my meetings with the leaders of color that Cynthia McKinney has arranged in New York City go well on the 17th and the 18th, then I believe we will have a revolution that Donald Trump cannot ignore.
Well, and you know, people of color deserve a lot better than what they've been getting.
New York City is spending $75 million a year to put people of color in jail for marijuana offenses so they can redline their homes and upgrade them into condos.
Yeah. Okay. We're throwing those people in for marijuana offenses. Meanwhile, the pedophilia people are getting away with that. There is no excuse for this type of environment.
Let me single out Mott Taibbi. I mean, Mott Taibbi and Chris Hedges are two of the greatest observers of America in modern history. Taibbi's book, Griftopia, and Taibbi's book, The Divide. The second one is about two legal systems, one for the rich and one for the poor. And that's another thing. Donald Trump's tax reform plan is a fraud. It does nothing to change the basic fact that the taxes are built on the backs of the working people. Mm-hmm. We don't tax currency and stock transactions. We don't tax all the internal trading within companies and so forth. Trump's health plan is also completely dishonest because it doesn't allow the government to negotiate on prices and it doesn't demand a price list from the health industry. The health industry is a Las Vegas crapshoot. What you pay depends on your insurance plan, where you are, how much you make, and so forth. So right now, I think Donald Trump, for me, gets a C-. He's done some good things. He's done some truly idiotic things, like giving $54 million to the military, which is 50% waste and consumes 60% of the disposable budget of the federal government. I'm still holding out for Donald Trump to return to being our president of all of the people. I will never, ever fail to acknowledge that he is our legitimate president. But we, the people, are not going to wait for Donald Trump anymore. On 18 May, we kick off We the People, Unity for Integrity. After that, it's up to the people to decide. And let me just point out to you, we think we can raise $1 billion a year. That's $100 million times $10 each, or $50 million times $20 each, or $25 million times $40 each. I'm taking in $100 to $500 to $2,500 donations right now. The money is moving.
So where can they find out more information about this?
I think phibetaiota.net is the easiest because I have a new page called hashtag Unrig. And if they just look up #Unrig, they should get to my stuff. But robertdavidsteele.com is my personal website. I was recently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, and I don't deserve it, but it's useful publicity. It helped get me hearings at the very highest levels of the government in Thailand. And I think that now people are starting to realize we have solutions. We can, in fact, restore integrity to our government, and we can, in fact, save humanity and lift up humanity. But we should not wait for our governments to act. We, the people, need to come together and demand integrity. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, we definitely do. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me today. And we'll have that website up there, also on this video. And we will just talk until next time, because I love talking to you. I think we all get educated on your perspective and everything that you have such a wealth of knowledge.
Well, thank you. It's on the backs of other. I'm the top Amazon reviewer for nonfiction. I read in 98 categories. There are over 2,000 to 2,500 books that are in here. And that's ideas of other people. You, Greg Hunter and Caitlin Johnson, The Hagman Report, Victoris Libertas, all of you guys are absolute patriots. You are the new educators for America. God bless you, Sarah. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
And that's all we have for today. If you want to find his contact information, you can go to sarahwestall.com. You can also Google him. He's all over the place. He has a lot of material that he gives away for free on his website. So I recommend going there. All of his books that he's written, he gives away for free. He's just trying to educate the public. But I want to tell you that I have a new ebook that I have up there. It's called The Wrong Side of History. It's based on Senator Black's interview that I did. It includes a letter that he wrote to Assad. I, on the other hand, have to charge a little bit just to cover my time and help to recoup some of these costs for the show. It's only $4.99. So please go there, share that, spread the word on what's going on there in Syria. And we'll be back on Friday with an episode on the war on science, which is pretty interesting as well. So until then, have a great day.